Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Predators with a clunky, clunker last night. A tough one to watch last night. Really, from the jump, it felt like the Predators were kind of skating through peanut butter. But joining us now to break it all down, what we saw last night and really kind of the state of the Predators, is our friend Chris Mason. C. Mace, I had to start with UC Soros. It's the fifth time last night that he was benched this season. Third time he's benched in the last 3 weeks. What is your concern level with UC Soros?
Well, long term, not a whole lot. I think the season has definitely presented some challenges with him and his game. I think there's been some adjustments in the way that he's maybe had to play in terms of the mental preparation. Lately, I think the team in general has been doing a good job of not giving up a whole lot. A lot of the chances, I think, that teams are trying to create is shifting in the way it has in years past, and even more so with the way I think Bruno's team is possessing the puck a lot. So you don't get necessarily as much volume. So Soros hasn't got as much volume as he has in the past. He came off that dominant stretch there in December where he went 10-1. You know, we thought, all right, here you go. He's back. He was for a good portion of that game. And then since then, it's kind of been back and forth. There's been some up and down. Obviously, when you watch a game like last night, you know, you're giving up goals that you don't normally see him give up when there's a clear sight line. You know, even if it's a good scoring chance, he's historically stopping more of those, you know, more consistently. Right now you're seeing them kind of go in. So there is definitely a little bit of concern. I mean, you know, I don't know if anything's been said today. I'm just driving to the airport right now. But, you know, now you kind of have a decision where, well, who are you starting against Dallas? You know, you could easily obviously go for back to Soros and say, all right, we got to get him going, which is the way you do. But Lankinen came in. He played well. He's played well when he's gotten the net. So, you know, it's the concern, I would say, out of 10, if I want to pick, I'd say maybe it's a 2 long term. But when you look at the standings and the way teams are playing around them, you know, that probably goes up a couple notch. But I'm not concerned. I know how good Soros is, and, you know, nothing's really changed in that regard for me.
And I'm glad you brought up that game in Dallas. You have two incredibly important games against Dallas coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But looking at this game tomorrow night, who would you, if you were Andrew Brunette, who would you start in net?
Well, I honestly could really make an argument for both. It's just a matter of, you know, I know this determination is a conversation that the coaches, you know, have amongst themselves. I would look at the situation. They don't play another game to Anaheim. You know, if I'm Ben Vanderklok or Andrew Brunette, and you think, hey, you know what, let's just give Juice this. I could make an argument for this. Let's give Juice a mental break. We don't play on Tuesday. You know, work on his game in practice. Just let him, you know, clear his mechanism, so to speak, and then be ready for that game or Anaheim. Or sometimes coaches will have a conversation with the goaltender and say, hey, Juice, you know, do you want to – you got Dallas. We know we pulled you out in the third period. You know, give you that off to get you ready for Dallas. But at the same time, I think, you know, you got to consider Lankinen in the equation as well. He's played well. He came in last night. I know the game wasn't over, but it was pretty much over. But he came in, did a good job. He's played well for this team, and he's honestly earned, you know, more playing time. If they want to take that approach where they rest Soros, this would be a good chance, you know, to give him that break. But, you know, you're playing Dallas Stars, and this is a rivalry. This is a team that's been very competitive. So I would, just my opinion, I would probably go back with Soros and then maybe reevaluate after that if I was the one making the decision. But having said that, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Lankinen gets that game.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, better known as C-Mace, one half of the Nashville Predators broadcasting team on television. Now, C-Mace, you did bring up Lankinen, and whose fault was that? Because I'm watching it, and Lankinen gets outside of the net to try to get the puck, and we've seen that many times where goalies get outside the puck, you get outside the net to get the puck. But it seems like there was maybe some miscommunication between he and the next guy. So who would you put that more on, Lankinen or the guys that were around in that on his team?
Well, obviously everyone's going to take some of the blame, but if I'm the goalie back there when I played, if I went out and I'm the one with the ball with the puck, and I'm the one going to make that decision, that's all on me. I take that 100% responsibility because I'm the one that's able to make the decision. Yes, you would like to have communication from your team. If you do, sometimes you want to wait for your defenseman. It's not an easy thing to come into a game in the third period after you've been sitting on the bench for 2.5 hours and, you know, especially make those fine plays. But you do rely on the communication from your teammates in those situations. So I don't know what that was, but it looked like that he was waiting to hear something he didn't, and obviously waited too long. Even if, you know, there's a defenseman, and you got to be loud. Like Hal Gill was saying on the broadcast, too, when he's yelling at his goalie's coming back, he's like, man on, or move it. So there's no doubt, you know, that you're under pressure. If a defenseman's coming down, and he's going back for the puck, and I know he has his back turned toward the next attacker, their forechecker, I'm yelling, man on. So he knows when he gets that puck, he has a decision. He's got to make a play right away. There's no hesitation. So I'm guessing that he didn't hear anything on that play. But if you don't, you have to recognize, you know, the pressure yourself. And then you just do kind of the play where you get it up on the glass and fire it as hard as you can so the guys can kind of get back into position and recover. So I always put that on myself if I ever made that play. And believe me, I made a bunch of those. But it's not easy to do, though, when you're coming into a game because you're not as sharp as you normally would be in those situations.
Absolutely. Yeah, to me it just looked like a communication thing. He made it here.
Yeah.
He wanted to hear something, didn't hear it, and he got himself in a situation where it wasn't advantageous for the team. You talked about UC Soros and you know, your long term. You're not worried about him long term, and neither am I long term. But we had a conversation about the team long term. Right now, they're sitting in a space where they are, you know, the first wild card team, and you would want to take advantage of it now while you're still in the thick of things, because as you start to move on in the season, you don't know how these young players will react. Will they get worn down? And then you're in a situation now you're fighting and clawing when you had that one seed in regards to the wild card and you never took advantage of it. So are you worried about that moving on with the team, not just with UC Soros?
I am, because, you know, you look at the cluster of teams, and there's a lot of teams that, you know, could easily be in that spot. Edmonton being one of them that will probably leapfrog a bunch of teams the way that they're playing, and when you look at their roster. And one of my reasons for concern is right now the team is, like, really healthy. And as the season goes on, you tend to get dinged up and guys miss time here and there. So I feel when you have – and you can take advantage of a healthy roster in this situation. They've played more games than most teams in the Western Conference, so a lot of those teams behind them have games in hand, which is, you know, can play for or against, because I guess the Predators have a lighter schedule in terms of the amount of games they play, but it also means other teams are playing more, so they have, you know, those extra games to make up, you know, moves in the standing. So I am concerned about that because there's a lot of quality. I would say the only teams that are completely out of it would be Anaheim, Chicago, and San Jose. And other than that, any one of the teams, you know, that's wild card down, I think have a legit chance to make it. And so that does scare me, you know, the recent trend of what's going on. And that game last night, you know, I guess we'll see how they come out against Dallas. That was a clunker. And I love Caroline's comment there. It looked like they were skating in peanut butter. I don't think I've heard that one before. So I might have to use that one. But
you can take that one. Just quote me on it.
I will. I'll, for sure. I'll give you credit for that one. That was pretty good. It made me laugh. But it was that's true, though. So, you know, hopefully they'll come out. And obviously, you know, after the game, the coach was not happy, and it was not a good game. So I look for these guys to respond. But I am concerned right now with a healthy roster. Can't keep sliding down and letting other teams catch you.
Chris Mason is with us. And Mace, another thing that I could just tell when I hear Andrew Burnett talking after a game like that, that he knows he's been leaning pretty heavily on Philip Forsberg, Gus Nyquist, Ryan O'Reilly. Those guys have been unbelievable. But you can just hear it. Like he's looking and hoping. And Colton Sissons has been incredibly good. He got another goal last night. He's been awesome. But there needs to be more of those guys, right? I can just tell he feels like he's leaning a little too much on that top line. So can they get more? It's like he's looking around saying, I need some people to step up here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, I feel like we have that conversation with him, you know, in the mornings of games or whenever we get a chance to talk to him. You know, you look at it two ways. There's huge opportunity. Obviously, this team is going through a rebuild or whatever the name is, whatever you want to call it. But they put themselves in a position where, you know, the expectations have raised, I think, in terms of the way that we view this team, the way that the fans do. They played so well. The leadership transition here has went, you know, almost impeccable the way that, you know, they've developed a really good culture. Even they didn't play great last night. They played like crap, but they still worked their butts off. And I can live with that. And that's one thing, probably the thing I respect most about this team is no matter the situation, whether they're playing an unbelievable game or a bad game, they work their butts off. And it's going to happen. But these young players that are in the NHL right now have an opportunity that, you know, it can work for them or against them. They have more playing time than they probably would have if the Predators are, you know, a team that's, let's say, in the mix for a Stanley Cup or a competing team. But it can also work against you because, you know, if you're not playing well and producing, then they say, well, I don't know if this, even though you may be a young player and you got a lot of years ahead of you, you can sometimes get pigeonholed where, I don't know if he can do it. Yes, he's got skill. Yes, he can do this. Yes, he can skate, all these types of things. But can he play when the chips are on the table? Can he defend? Can he be consistent? And I know that's a lot of pressure, and sometimes that's not fair. But the state I think the team is in now, you know, you have to look at this as a player and put that pressure on yourself because, you know, a lot of people, you know, you only get so many opportunities because next year you got the next group coming in. You got Kemmel in Milwaukee. You got a bunch of, you know, players that are in the pipeline, a lot of good prospects. It's the best league in the world. You know, you have this opportunity, and in order for this year's team to make the playoffs, they have to have contributions from the young players. And that's just the reality of it. That's just the fact of life. And they do need that. So it's a lot of pressure. But at the same time, you know, you can see that frustration, I think, from Burnett because consistently it hasn't been there. It's that second and third, you know, that secondary scoring. As you mentioned, Colton Sissons is going to probably smash his career totals in every department. He's been awesome. He's got more opportunity. He's taken advantage of the opportunity. We need more guys, you know, I think the younger guys consistently to take advantage of theirs.
So I think that becomes the question, right? And I don't know if that anybody can answer it right now, but how patient can you be? I'm sure if you're Andrew Burnett and you're in there every day going, I've been patient, right? I'm keep rolling those guys. How long does he keep giving them the leash at Barry Trotz as well before they might try something else, right? Because it's been basically this group. And as you've mentioned, knock on wood, they've been pretty healthy, but they haven't gone and dipped down to Milwaukee and say, well, let's try this guy or that guy and see what happens with that formula.
Well, this is the billion-dollar question, because if you're the coach and you're the players on the team, obviously your only objective, I know where, you know, you want to develop and you go through this rebuild, but as your objective as coach is to win hockey games. So, you know, you need to do it however you see fit that night. You're not thinking necessarily long-term. You are on the outside, obviously, and that's the organizational goal here is to develop players and rebuild and give these guys experience. So, you know, his hands are probably tied in a lot of those circumstances. But if you're the organization, you know, Barry Trotz has said that, you know, the players are going to determine whether, you know, they get what we do at the deadline. And if they've kind of put themselves in the spot where they're in the conversation right now and a lot of hockey left to be played before then. So I guess it has to be a collective agreement. So, all right, where are we at here? Do we feel we have enough if we make a couple tweaks? Because if you want to add, you're right, Willie, though, you could, you know, use Milwaukee. But do we want to, you know, take a chance of bringing up, you know, a guy, let's say Kemmel is the guy we're talking about. Do we want to bring him up? He's only 19 years old. Or is it better for him to stay in Milwaukee for his long-term development? Or do we want to try to win now? We need a guy who can, you know, has got his shot and maybe his power play prowess or whatever. So it's a lot of tough decisions that obviously I'm not qualified to make. But I think that's something that, you know, will be determined here probably the next month and a half.
Yep, and hopefully the group you know, comes back and shows like they did last year that they can do it. Last one before, of course, we do need to kind of get to the plane in a few minutes here. But the Phil Tomasino hit late. He gets a match penalty. I have yet to talk to somebody that, in retrospect, I talked to the Flames announcers last night. I was listening to Elliot Friedman's podcast this morning. He and Jeff Merrick broke it down. Nobody thought that that was a slew foot. You and Howe, both Calgary announcers, plus Merrick and Friedman. But if you get a match penalty, right, there are you are in danger of being suspended further.
Right.
I haven't heard anything one way or the other yet. I'm hoping Phil Tomasino, who was not a dirty player or anything, if you really slowed that down, it looked to me like the referees were saying, you know what, it's 6-3, we're going to have a big fight in retribution if we don't do anything here. Let's give them the 5 in the game, and everybody will cool down. I don't know if that's what they did or not, but to me, I hope there's no further punishment for Phil Tomasino there. That should be rescinded.
It didn't warrant more punishment, I didn't believe.
Yeah.
No, for sure it didn't. I mean, I get the, you know, just say let's calm it down, the temperature's getting, you saw the Flames getting riled up, but I saw the Flames players come back to the bench. They watched it, they had the iPad, and then they were shaking their heads to each other, like, no, it wasn't dirty. It was, you know, obviously he hit his head on the ice, which, you know, we all know that nobody wants that to happen. It was scary, but it wasn't, I don't think, Phil Tomasino. You know, they went shoulder to shoulder. You know, he didn't follow through and sweep the guy's legs out from him, which is a slew foot. You have to fall, you know, you go from behind, and it's almost like you're pushing back on the front of his chest and then kicking his legs out from behind him. That's what a slew foot is. He definitely didn't do that. It was a contact with the shoulder. And Tomasino ends up falling forward. So I think everybody in the hockey world would probably agree that that wasn't a slew foot, but it'll be very interesting to see. Because I think because he got a match, now the league automatically has to review it. And I don't think he can get cleared to play until they clear that match penalty, which I think they will. I just cannot imagine that ever receiving any sort of further action.
Right.
It was a hit. It was maybe circumstantial, the call, I think, more than anything in the game.
And also, if there's going to be a suspension or something, usually by now, the middle of the next day, you hear from the safety department say there will be a hearing. We have not heard anything like that. So let's keep
not.
Our fingers crossed. Right.
Yeah, and I just saw Phil Tomasino. I'm at the airport, and I just saw him drive by. So he's getting on the plane today, if anyone's
So that
wondering.
Should be a good sign, right?
Yeah, that's a good sign. I would think so.
Is he driving fast, cutting people off in traffic, you know, taking on bad boy persona?
Well, he slew-footed the car in front of him.
Classic.
You know, he actually was in that third period. He was playing well. I thought they had elevated him, and I thought he was kind of given. Remember, that all of a sudden, they were within two. They had that fluky goal by McCarron, and you're thinking, one more, and they could get a little nervous over there on the Calgary bench.
Yeah. No, they were playing well. I think that was the only line, to use Caroline's reference there, that wasn't skating in peanut butter.
Yeah, they got out of the peanut butter.
They cleaned all that up. Yeah, I'm glad that they did that just in time.
They had some jam to their game, so there you go.
Touche, C-Mace, touche. Chris Mason, appreciate you for joining us. C-Mace, safe travels to Dallas, and we'll chat with you soon.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right,
take care.
Appreciate it. Willie is on his way to Dallas, so safe travels to Willie as
well. See you,
Willie. Coming up next, we'll get into some questions for D-Mace. Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.